Okay, moving on. Maintenance and updates. Maintenance and updates. Let's talk about updates. A licensed software package without proper maintenance or updates and support from the vendor, you know, as we said, it can become obsolete very quickly and at some point becomes absolutely useless to the user. So you need updates. You got to make sure, you know, in your contract, maybe it talks about free upgrades, but make sure the license provides that the vendor will continuously update its software and use the latest technologies available or versions. That's a common provision that is not in every IT contract, but virtually every vendor will agree that they'll, use the latest and greatest technologies, you know, while they're servicing your software that you're buying from them. So this is especially important when you have, and we talked about this, a perpetual license. You know, it's forever. So you need them to, if they're going to be servicing, if part of a maintenance agreement is with this software, you need to have them utilizing new developments, new latest technology, and, you know, even if it's for a multi-year deal, you have to do that. Okay. So let's go to term. Now, on the PowerPoint, we have 90 days in a year. The term, now the software vendor will agree to maintain and update the licensed software. You know, they'll do it for a period of time between 90 days and 1 year. That's pretty standard. It's not always the case, though. After the expiration of the initial period, the software vendor will generally require an annual maintenance fee to continue finishing the updates to the software. Again, before you sign the contract, any future services that will be agreed upon in the future, let's get a minimum, a ceiling on that, so you can budget for it and you don't get held up for, you know, two times what it is, and now you're dependent on the software. Okay, you should nail down the vendor on the maintenance charges and what it will cost, if anything, for the vendor to service the software. Maybe they won't charge you. Maybe they do, you know, automatic updates. You know, it's like your iTunes account. It just automatically updates to the latest version. But you should figure out what, if any, that maintenance charge is for your system or software. And usually it's going to be a separate agreement, but it should be very detailed. And that goes to availability. When you're having maintenance performed on your software, or it's being integrated into your system, and, you know, it goes live and there's a problem, and then it essentially crashes. Or maybe it doesn't crashes, but there's some problems, you should have in your contract to enhance your organization's rights and your employees' productivity, you should have a minimum response time if errors or problems arise. Maybe it's minutes with telephone support. Maybe it's hours if the person's local. Maybe it's days, depending on how vital the software is. Some instances, you know, we're working with systems where we're dealing with California vendors. So these California guys are literally traveling to Michigan. If there's a problem, they're literally traveling to Michigan, and we've agreed to pay their travel costs. And sometimes those agreements, the boilerplate reaction is, okay, any maintenance issues, you pay our travel, time, mileage. You know, maybe you don't want to do that. And if you do want to do that, maybe you should have some ceilings in there as far as what you're going to pay. And if it's going to be more than $500, you know, you need, one, prior written approval to do it, and two, you need to approve it. So So those are issues for maintenance and updates. Let's see. We have another question. I'm going to transition this to Nick or Tell right now. Go ahead, Nick, if you can.
Yes, sir. Yeah, one slide ago we discussed the bankruptcy of the licensor, and in regard to that we do have one question asking for maybe some suggested contract language in the event of the licensor's bankruptcy for additional protection.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. What we're going to do is we're going to make this webinar available after, it's obviously been completed. We will also make the slides available. And I was going to make up some, kind of a top, list that you should be considering to include, basically to reward everybody that hung with us so far. But I can put that on there as well. We can put some sample language. Now, the only caveat that I have to that is that I don't know where you're going to insert that, so I can't guarantee that it's going to be valid. And maybe there's a provision on page 3 in 11 font on, on the top right corner that disclaims all that. We're going to talk about disclaimers and warranties and stuff. And there's usually an intellectual property provision. So I can do that for you, but I can't guarantee it. But I can guarantee it if I saw the entire contract and how that worked with the other provisions. So I'll give you some model language, and we can accommodate that. So thank you, Nick.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, so let's keep marching here. We have fee structure. Now this is the breakdown of the cost. Regarding terms, there's usually in the fee structure terms regarding license fee that should be specific and complete. In a software license agreement, the fee and the payment terms are frequently attached as a supplemental attachment to the agreement. So that fee structure, you need to sit down with your IT person or your CFO, or maybe you're all those people, but you need to put that hat on and you need to review that and make sure there are no hidden costs in that fee structure. As far as the breakdown of costs, and then as far as the structure, that is talking about a fee structure for one or two users versus a fee structure for a company-wide site license, as we talked about earlier, for larger corporations that prefer to negotiate this company-wide license covering all sites, cover all subsidiaries, or cover all affiliates. Now the license will usually be several times the usual license fee for a single site license, but nevertheless you have it. Now while I'm on this issue, I want to quickly divert just for a minute on this fee issue, and it's talking about a company-wide license. We're talking about subsidiaries and affiliates. Earlier we talked about whether a license was revocable, irrevocable. Later we'll be talking about whether it's assignable, and we're going to get that. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But what I want to tell you is that there are a couple words that are absolutely essential that you understand when you review your IT contract, and that is this agreement transferable or assignable? Because the common scenario is that XYZ Corporation bought this system and it's running all of its lifeblood, all of its information, all of its proprietary functions on the system. It has 5 subsidiaries and 4 affiliates. Unless those terms were specifically negotiated and that agreement says that this is a non-transferable, non-assignable license, then that license governing that system for the XYZ Corporation cannot be used by any of these affiliates or sold to or sent down to any subsidiaries. So let me give you an example that's a brand new case out of the Sixth Circuit, which includes Michigan here, and I'll give you the plain facts. The plain facts was a company bought a license for a software, or purchased a license for the software. It was non-transferable and non-assignable. The company went through an internal corporate restructuring with affiliates and subsidiaries. It then transferred all this, you know, this software to these new affiliates and its subsidiaries, and now we have, you know, the final entity. Well, that software licensor, and they were receiving quite a bit of money per year in fees, licensing fees, sued them for copyright infringement, sued them for damages because they did not pay a new licensing fee. And the corporation said, well, it's all internal. It's all our subsidiaries. It's our affiliates. We can freely assign this and transfer it. And the court said, no, you cannot. You cannot transfer intellectual property rights unless it explicitly says this agreement is transferable or assignable. So literally those two words are the difference of a $460,000 judgment against this company. Literally those two words. If that contract was transferable and assignable, non-issue. So it goes to show if you're looking to sell your company and you do not have your software, your systems, you do not, if it's not transferable or assignable, guess what? That new company that's buying those, they got to pay new licensing fees if they want to continue to use your IT. Now, a lot of people don't know that, and they've sold it anyways, and they transfer the IT assets, the systems and everything. Problem is that it hasn't been enforced until the last couple of years. People are realizing, software vendors particularly, are realizing they have a lot of rights in that system, and you just can't freely sell it when there's existing licenses. So if you have a license and you think that you're going to be internally restructuring or you're grooming your business to sell, you need to make sure that it says that it is transferable or assignable. If it's not, it can be, you know, the new entity may not be buying that software, you know, especially if it's a critical function. Okay, that's enough about that. We have a few minutes, and I want to move quickly ahead. We got through part of the fee structure, service credit, you know, refund. Somebody talked about, you know, earlier, should we build penalties in the agreement for non-performance? Absolutely. You know, maybe you get a refund as well. Service credits, we talked about that. They're not performing. You get 8 hours of service time from the techie that comes out every third day because the system isn't fully integrated. Partial payments, you know, I would highly, highly recommend that if you are doing a custom-built software, you establish specific milestones that must be met, and upon the completion of each milestone, certain money is released to the builder. Partial payments are made, and also simultaneously, that software code that's been built up to that point is escrowed in the escrow account. And if any problems arise, it can be released to you, the licensee. And you know, if he goes bankrupt, or you know they're not performing, and you wind up in litigation, you have the intellectual property ownership rights to that software, and you can take and go find a third party and say, finish the job. Otherwise, without the escrow agreement, the ownership of the IP, you don't have that right at all. You're dead in the water. Okay, moving on. Breakdown of costs. We've completed that. Assignment of rights. Assignment of rights, we talked about that. I guess we're talking about source code here. My bad, I'm skipping ahead. We've talked about is the source code. You need to do source code in an escrow. Source code, everybody knows, is, you know, the nuts and bolts, the drawings, the you know, the programming of you know, the behind the scenes work of how the software runs. And without that, you don't own it, and all you do is you have a right to use it, and that can be pulled from you anytime, particularly if you have a revocable license. Vendor concern, source code, hey, this is their money maker. They're going to be very reluctant to give you their source code. However, you can make very convincing arguments that if they fail to perform, then you know what, the value of their source code is really nothing, and you've paid them for their time and services, and therefore you should transfer it to them. This was not an opportunity for them to learn at your expense and then fail. Escrow, we talked about escrow. Escrow is very effective. Do the escrow and make sure it's done in accordance with the agreement, and you preserve your rights. All right. Okay, assignment of rights. Assignment of rights is very, very important. This is what we were talking about earlier. Now, and maybe I'll just leave it at that. You know, you want, as the licensee, to be able to assign your contract. You know, as the vendor, if you're the vendor, you don't want it because you're controlling it. That is, you know, your money making machine. That's your bread and butter. You put a lot of time and money into creating that. That's your product. So you don't want the licensee to just go out and, you know, assign it to anyone. And could exceed the scope of use, all that stuff. But know your assignment of rights. If you're a licensee, you're the user, hey, you want an assignment. You want to be able to be freely assignable. But you know what? When you're reviewing your IT contracts, you got to see if it says assignment of rights, if it's freely assignable, or if there's a restriction. So again, that magic language, transferable or assignable license, that's going to be usually in the scope of your contract. It's going to be within the first couple paragraphs, usually. They may bury it in the back, though. Okay, moving on. Modifications, necessity. Necessity. You know, often when a user licenses a standard software package from a vendor, the user requires modifications to tailor this standard software to the business needs. We've talked about that. But what we haven't said explicitly is that before paying a significant amount for the standard licensed software, you want to be assured that the modifications have been developed properly and work correctly. So this can be a source of revenue for the vendor. You know, you do modifications that may be necessary. Well, they may charge you a new licensing fee, which is good for them and an further expense for you. If it was a necessary modification, if it's a bug or something, then you shouldn't be paying for that as the licensee. All right, other issues, and then we will wrap up, is this detailed specifications, which are agreed to by both the vendor and the user. You know, we talked about progress reports, payment schedule, which is dependent upon the performance and the delivery of the vendor. So, you know, if they perform, you can pay them. If not, you know, maybe you withhold payment. Regardless, you need to do what's in your agreement. You need to honor that. All right. Very quickly and almost most importantly, representations and warranties. This is the quality of the product that you're getting. You know, you probably have now know about the ownership of the IP. You want, if they say they own it, you know what? You want a representation warranty that says they own it. If they are talking about performance or they're not, you want them to talk about performance response time. We talked about that. Is it within minutes, 24-hour hotline? Is it days, you know, tech support or hours? I mean, that needs to be identified. You know, the capacities and throughput warranties. Basically, you know, the capacity, you know, do they have the capacity to do this, the reliability of warranties, how reliable is this software? It's, if they disclaim these, you should know why. If they're not disclaiming them, you need to hold them to it. You're paying a lot of money for this product. Disclaiming warranties and limitations of liability is a very, very big topic in all IT contracts. And in certain instances, if they disclaim the vendor, disclaims the warranties, they have to do it in all caps. And it has to be explicit, otherwise it's invalid. Moving on, know your warranties, know what they mean. It's very essential. Warranties are very essential, particularly when they're being disclaimed. Know what they're warranting and make sure you advocate for those warranties. Okay, finally, we're going to touch on trade secrets. That is the vendor rights. The trade secrets which the vendor seeks to protect include source code and documentation associated with the software product. Essentially, what trade secrets in an IT contract mean is if they are going to do a custom build, they're going to need to know some of your confidential or trade secret information. You may know theirs. Make sure that it is reciprocal. Make sure that it is absolutely reciprocal. If they're going to have access to proprietary information, make sure they're signing confidentiality agreements. They're going to be making you sign confidentiality agreements. Those confidentiality provisions are an absolute must. You need bulletproof ones. Some are very wishy-washy. And any time when you're reviewing these contracts, if it seems one-sided, try to make it reciprocal and see where that gets you as far as the language. Vendors are usually willing to be reciprocal and fair in their language. Vendor rights, everybody wants as many rights as they can get. Termination, that is an essential provision in a contract. It tells you when the contract can be terminated, if at all. Another essential provision is this issue of the scope of the license. Is it in North America? Is it worldwide? That's usually in the very beginning. You need to know if, for instance, you know, if we have, you know, for instance, a client we're representing in Michigan, well, guess what? They're also doing business, you know, in China, in India. Do they have a worldwide license to use this software? If not, then again, we're violating the scope, which means we have problems with intellectual property, infringement, and breach of contract. So lastly, we're closing in to the final minute here, and I'm getting prompted to transition out, so I will do that. But essential provisions, and you can write these down, the essential provisions that you need to understand when reviewing an IT contract to maximize your rights and minimize your liability is you need to understand the scope of the agreement. And this webinar is online, or will be online. It's all being recorded. The materials, you guys can go back to the beginning. We talked about scope. You got to understand the scope. That's the irrevocable, revocable, exclusive, non-exclusive, all of those essential terms, permitted, prohibited uses. You got to know your scope. You got to know the duration. How long is this contract or license going to last? 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, perpetual. We need to know if, you know, if it's irrevocable, as we talked about in the scope, remember, because that talks about different damages you can get or injunctive relief that you can't get. We need to know about the limitations and exclusions of liability. We also need to understand what is being excluded, those warranties that we talked about. What warranties are going to be excluded? What warranties are going to be included? We need to know what they are, and we need to both, that is the vendor and the licensee, understand what that means if something goes wrong. Do they say, oh, here's a new version, oh, we're going to repair or replace, or, oh, you just lost all your proprietary data and your business function is now non-existent and it's going to take us 6 months to rebuild this. Oh, and by the way, you've excluded the consequential damages, so all your lost profits and your lost data, you can't ever get that. So you need to know what that means. The other issue is this ownership. Got to know intellectual property ownership. Got to know about confidentiality. It's got to be reciprocal. You got to know about termination, when and how you get out of the contract, when they can get out of the contract. And again, know those warranty and damages exclusions. And then, you know, there's other issues to consider, like any contract of, you know, forum and, you know, do you, you know, is there a limitation on damages? Is there basket damages? The total amount you can receive is, you know, you see them in IT contracts. Is the value of the IT, contract, that you paid for? So maybe you paid 50 grand and CDW says, well, the maximum you can get in this contract is 50,000, even if we screw everything up and all your data is lost. Well, if you sign it, you sign it. So with that, there's much more to talk about, but we've been limited to a quick, you know, hour and a half here, and I want to thank everybody for participating. I want to thank my colleague, Nick Ortel, and, of course, all the people here at Foster Swift, including Kyle DeRocher, who have been instrumental in putting this on. We can respond to some of these questions online. If you send us an email, I can respond, or my colleague Nick and I can respond directly. I believe our emails are on the front page of the slide. Feel free. At least if you email me, it will be free. I can't speak for Nick, but you know, that's fair enough. But email us both. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us how we did. Tell us what we can do better. You know, good luck in reviewing all your IT contracts out there. They seem minimal, but they have huge and devastating effects at times, literally with two words or one sentence. So take care and thank you, everybody.